Bob Bain is senior lecturer in public policy at the Harvard Kennedy School of Government. He publishes Bob Bain's Performance Leadership Report, and you can read more about it at federalnewsradio.com/in-depth. Bob, this month you're writing about the great sewage equation. Why should every public manager know what the great sewage equation is and how it pertains to his life? Thanks for joining me.
The great sewage equation isn't usually called the great sewage equation. It's called the stock and flow problem. But the dilemma is that nobody really quite understands the stock and flow problem. And it's nevertheless relevant to lots of organizations where they have something flowing in and something flowing out. And the problem is that if more is flowing in than is flowing out, you have a lot stuck in the pipe. That's the great sewage equation. Sewage in minus sewage out is sewage stuck in the pipe. And you can see this most simply at your local supermarket. You got a line. If more people are lining up than are getting checked out, the line grows longer. More people are stuck in the line. The first reason why you have to understand it is because most people don't. A great article was written about a decade and a half ago called Bathtub Dynamics, and this was a look at how students at the Sloan School of Management at MIT, slackers they, all of whom, by the way, have had calculus, were given a number of questions that were basically stocks and flows or sewage flowing into the pipe, sewage flowing out of the pipe. And they were asked, okay, is the amount of sewage stuck in the pipe going up or down? Now, they weren't asked about sewage. They were asked about water flowing into a bathtub. That's why the title of the article was Bathtub Dynamics. And water flowing out. And then they were also asked about money flowing into a bank account and money flowing out. And they were very bad at trying to answer those questions. They didn't get it right. They didn't understand whether the amount stuck in the pipe was going up or was going down. So, you know, you have one example is simply people applying for some service. It could be driver's licenses. It could be something else. But if more people are flowing in, that is, requesting this service, then you have the capacity to serve. Surprise, the amount of people stuck in the pipe is going to go up. And if you're sort of committed to not having people stuck in the pipe, because people stuck in the pipe are very unhappy, you have to figure out a way to get the people going out of the pipe at least as great as the number of people coming in.
What do you think it means, Bob, that a group of people as intelligent, highly educated as folks at the Sloan School struggled with this concept? And what does it say about the concept of the backlogs that we see across the federal government and other government organizations and the understanding thereof, do you think?
I've always been a little bit confused about why people don't get the stock and flows, but obviously it's basically an intellectual challenge. The reason I sort of did it about the great sewage equation was because I'd learned this when I was an undergraduate in engineering school. I wasn't a civil engineer, but this was always a joke, you know, the great sewage equation. I thought it captured maybe a little better than other of the metaphors, like the bathtub metaphor or the bank account metaphor. It captured a little better because the pipe was sort of like you couldn't get out of the pipe. You were either in the pipe or you weren't. There was a casing around the pipe. And so maybe that way of thinking about it would help people. But even short of that, they have to simply remember that it looks like the supermarket check-in line, and they better make sure that the amount that's flowing out of whatever system they have is at least as large as the number going in, or they have a fundamental problem.
I think the analogy to money coming in and out of an account is particularly apt for this area in which you and I are interested, Bob, because that applies in so many cases to backlogs and conditions in the government.
There are lots of services. Obviously, when I wrote this article, I was making fun of the problem by the title I gave the piece.
Yeah, it's kind of hard not to laugh about sewage, right, Bob?
That's right. But at the same time, I was using that to draw attention to the fundamental underlying problem that, you know, requests made have to be less than requests satisfied, or you're going to have more requests stuck in the pipe. And since government agencies are in the business of servicing requests, they have to think about their ability to get those requests satisfied in one way or another.
Bob Bain of Harvard's my guest. He's author of The Performance Stat Potential, and he writes Bob Bain's Performance Leadership Report. What is not math in this situation is how you decide what the solution is. Sometimes the solution is more resources to be able to deal with the backlog, whatever's stuck in the pipe. Sometimes it's to try to control the flow in to to be able to mitigate the backlog. What's the decision-making process that you've seen applied successfully here to decide how to proceed to get out of the pipe what's stuck in the pipe?
One problem can simply be that the flow into the pipe isn't regular. You know, let's take the flow into any tax agency's pipe, whether it's the state income tax or the federal income tax. That flow is not regular. So one of the things that they have to do is figure out how they schedule their workforce so it deals with the irregularities, okay? Now, the irregularities at your local registry of motor vehicles can vary during the day. So you have to, more people show up at 9 o'clock. Well, you need more staff at 9 o'clock. If more people show up at lunchtime, you need more staffs. One thing is just being able to predict based on past requests what future requests are going to be. And if there's a cycle, you have to be yourselves prepared for the cycle. If the number is greater than the number you are prepared to service, you may have to do some sort of triage. We can't service everybody, so we'll service the people most important. I mean, obviously an emergency room at a hospital does that all the time. If you can come into the emergency room with what you think is emergency, but what the emergency room doesn't think is an emergency, and, you know, you'll wait longer than the guy who comes in with the heart attack.
When you talk about this with public managers, what do they ask you about this as far as mitigating it? Or once you explain it in the way that you've explained it in this article, is it kind of the head slapper and people go, oh, okay, I get it now, it makes sense?
I think there's a little bit of that. It's such a mundane problem that, you know, it doesn't generate high-powered thinking. At the same time, it's such an annoying problem for anybody that's standing in the line. I mean, we humans do not like standing in line. I certainly don't. And so, naturally, what's going to happen is that you have to spend a little bit of time on something that you don't think is all that important, but citizens do, and if you don't get it right, you end up with a lot of grief.